By the time I sat down across from HR, I already felt smaller than I had that morning. Not because I had done anything wrong, but because I could sense how this room worked. The table was too wide, the chair was too low, the notepad in front of her was already open, pen resting like it had been waiting for me. I had come in expecting questions about what happened. Instead, I was asked about myself, about my tone, my clothes, my timing, the way I phrased things, the way I might have misunderstood them. Each question landed softly, politely, with a smile that suggested neutrality. But together they formed something heavier, something that pressed down on my chest and made me doubt the memory I'd walked in with. I wasn't there to tell a story. I was there to be examined. And somewhere between the third and fourth question, I realized this meeting wasn't about clarity. It was about control. I had been with the company long enough to understand its rhythms. A mid-sized firm, French-owned, polished in all the ways that mattered to clients, and quietly rigid in the ways that affected employees. On the surface, it was progressive. Open offices, wellness language, posters about respect and inclusion that lined the hallways near the elevators. Underneath that, it was still old power, dressed in modern vocabulary. I worked in a role that sat just close enough to leadership to feel exposed. Not senior, but visible. Not junior, but not protected either. The kind of position where people felt comfortable venting to you and equally comfortable blaming you if something went wrong. I was good at my job. I knew that. Others knew it too, which came with its own kind of attention. The situation that brought me to HR didn't start with a single explosive moment. It started the way these things often do. A comment framed as a joke, a lingering look that could still be explained away, meetings that shifted in tone when doors closed. I noticed it before I named it. That tightening in my stomach when I saw his name on my calendar. The way I rehearsed neutral responses in my head before walking into shared spaces. I tried to handle it quietly. I adjusted my schedule. I kept emails short and factual. I avoided being alone with him when I could. I didn't confront him directly because nothing was concrete enough to point to without sounding dramatic. That's the space where doubt grows best. When something feels wrong, but hasn't crossed a line, you can easily describe. The line crossed itself eventually. Not loudly, not in a way that would shock anyone who wasn't already paying attention. A comment about how I looked that day. A suggestion that my friendliness had been misinterpreted. A reminder of how perception works in offices like ours. It wasn't threatening, it was instructive, and that made it worse. I reported it because I could feel myself shrinking, because I was starting to second-guess my instincts, because silence was beginning to feel like complicity with something that would only grow. I documented what I could, dates, phrases, context. I didn't embellish. I didn't editorialize. I told myself that HR existed for moments like this. The HR representative assigned to my case was a white French woman, not much older than me, calm, immaculately put together. She spoke in a soft, measured tone that made everything sound reasonable. She told me she was there to understand, to support, to ensure fairness for everyone involved. I wanted to believe her. I walked into that meeting thinking I was stepping into a process. I didn't realize I was stepping onto a scale. The first question was harmless enough. She asked me to walk her through what happened. I started at the beginning, careful to be precise. I could hear my own voice flattening, stripping emotion out of the facts like I'd been trained to do in professional settings. She nodded, took notes, occasionally asked me to clarify a date or time. Then the questions shifted. She asked what I had been wearing that day. Not in a curious way, in a procedural one. I answered, even though the question landed strangely, business casual, nothing memorable. She asked if I often dressed that way. I said yes. She wrote something down. She asked how I usually communicated with him. Friendly? Formal? Direct? I said professional. She asked if I could see how certain comments might be interpreted differently depending on tone. I said I supposed so, though I wasn't sure what that had to do with what he'd said. She asked whether I had ever laughed at his jokes, whether I had ever shared personal details about my life at work, whether I had ever complimented him. Each question was delivered gently, but they stacked up, one on top of the other, creating a version of me that felt increasingly unfamiliar. I noticed she hadn't asked what his history was, She hadn't asked whether others had raised concerns. She hadn't asked how the comments made me feel. The focus was narrow and relentless. It circled me, not the behavior I'd come to report. At one point, she asked if it was possible I had misread the situation. The word misread hung between us, clean and clinical. I felt heat rise in my face, not anger exactly, something closer to shame, as if the real issue was my perception, my sensitivity, my failure to interpret signals correctly. I answered, because that's what you do in those rooms. You answer because silence looks like uncertainty. You answer because you're still hoping the next question will balance the scale. With each response, I felt myself moving further away from the certainty I'd walked in with. I started qualifying my statements without being asked, adding disclaimers, softening edges. I could hear myself doing it and couldn't seem to stop. I didn't want to sound accusatory. I didn't want to sound emotional. I wanted to sound reasonable. She reminded me that these processes were complex, that intent mattered, that misunderstandings happened, that the company took all claims seriously, but also had a responsibility to protect everyone involved. Her language was polished and neutral, but it carried weight. It suggested risk. It suggested consequences I hadn't fully considered. By the end of the meeting, I was exhausted. Not because I had relived something traumatic, but because I had spent an hour defending my own credibility. I walked out with a tight smile, thanked her for her time, and immediately felt foolish for saying thank you at all. In the days that followed, the tone at work shifted, subtly but unmistakably. Meetings I'd usually be included in moved without me. Conversations stopped when I entered rooms. My manager asked if everything was okay, in a way that suggested he already knew it wasn't. HR sent a follow-up email summarizing our discussion. It was thorough. It was sanitized. It read like a document designed to protect the company from liability rather than address what had happened. My discomfort was there, but flattened. His behavior was described as perceived. The imbalance I felt wasn't named at all. I realized then that HR hadn't misunderstood me. They had understood perfectly. Their role just wasn't aligned with my expectations. Nothing dramatic happened after that. No confrontation, no apology, no clear resolution. That was the hardest part. Life at work continued, altered just enough to keep me on edge. He was careful around me now, professionally distant, almost cold, which made it impossible to point to anything new without sounding vindictive. HR checked in once, briefly, to ask if things felt better. I said they felt different. She seemed satisfied with that answer. What lingered wasn't fear of him. It was distrust of the system that had asked me to dissect myself instead of addressing the behavior I'd reported. I replayed the questions in my head more than the original incident. What I wore, what I said, what I might have misread. Those phrases embedded themselves quietly, resurfacing at inconvenient moments. I found myself policing my own presence at work, choosing clothes with extra care, rereading emails before sending them, avoiding humor altogether. It wasn't something anyone told me to do. It was a response learned through experience. I stayed with the company longer than I should have, partly out of practicality, partly because leaving felt like admitting something I couldn't quite articulate. When I eventually did move on, it wasn't with a dramatic exit. It was with a carefully worded resignation and a sense of relief I hadn't expected to feel so strongly. I still think about that HR meeting. Not because I regret reporting what happened, but because it taught me something important about how institutions maintain themselves. They don't always silence you outright. Sometimes they just ask questions that slowly reposition you until you're no longer sure where the truth stands. What stays with me most is the moment I realized I felt like the accused, sitting across from someone whose job it was to be neutral, answering questions that narrowed my story instead of opening it. That feeling doesn't disappear easily. It follows you. It sharpens your awareness. It changes how you speak, how you listen, how you decide when something is worth naming. I didn't lose my career. I didn't win a case. I walked away with something quieter and heavier. A clearer understanding of how power hides in process, and how easily support can turn into scrutiny when the cost of believing you feels too high.